All right. Well, we've been studying in Romans, and we've seen some differences. We've contrasted some differences. We're going to talk about some samenesses, too. S-A-M-E-N-E-S-S-E-S. And while rightly dividing, where the Bible makes divisions in the Bible, there are also a few names. How should I put this? We've gone through some divisions and showed where the Bible divides, makes things on opposite sides or different. I advise go back to lesson 45, the lesson previous to this, and see the differences. They're not against each other. They're not opposing in that sense, but they are different. They're stark differences. But tonight we're going to look at some similarities, some things that are same. And there are some names of things in the Bible which include both Israel and the body of Christ. The Bible does mention a building, both a building and a husbandry, as being separate and yet being on God's same foundation of Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians 3. I think I want to, my notes call for 3:9, but I want to look at 3:11 first here, I think. Yeah, let's put that in text. 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now back to 3:9, 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Well, which is it, Paul? It was both. He put both in there. So, growing on God's foundation of Christ, Paul and whoever wrote with him, I've got Sosthenes there. I think there were some others, named elsewhere. But Paul and Sosthenes labored together with God, addressing both those having been under God's vineyard husbandry. And in the same meeting, Paul's meeting, on God's same foundation of Christ, Paul and Sosthenes also labored together with God, addressing God's building, fitly framed and builded together for a habitation of God. So Paul's meetings included both those in God's husbandry, or that would be Israel's vine, and those in the body of Christ. Besides the foundation of Christ, including both Israel's doctrine and the doctrine of the body of Christ, in that foundation, there's also the family of God that includes both. The house or household of God includes both Israel with their doctrine and the body of Christ. And just to alleviate the puzzleness, you can go back to the gospel of God is the same for Israel as it is for the body of Christ, and that's a key to these others also being including both. Firstly, let's look at husbandry and see. Look in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 9 and 10. 2 Chronicles starting in 26:9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Verse 10. He also built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers, in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Jump down to John in the New Testament now, John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So there's a connection. He's talking about Israel when he's talking about the husbandry of the vineyard in the Bible. Next, let's turn our thoughts toward the building. That was the husbandry. We'll look at the building now. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In the Bible, the building, when it talks about the building, it's often talking about the body of Christ and building it, building that body. As in 1 Corinthians 3:10-14 or 15, we'll go down through 14 today, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now you've got building. Master builder. I have laid the foundation. The foundation. That's Christ, right? And another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And that's another difference right there, isn't it? In the body of Christ, it says every man builds. In the little flock, Christ said, I will build my church. So there's a difference there. It can't be the same group, the same entity. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's what we do when we rightly divide, isn't it? We sort Israel's gospel from, the later one, Body of Christ Gospel, the Gospel of Christ, Gospel of the Grace of God, Gospel of the Uncircumcision, sorting all that from Israel's Gospel, Israel's Gospel of the Kingdom, and their covenants that they were held to. Going on to the final verse in the series, 3:14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Paul includes us, body of Christ members, in the building. In Paul's writings, look in Ephesians 2, verses 20-22. I don't have that. Let me just get that in front of me here. 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That would be Paul, Timothy, Titus, not necessarily Titus. I don't think there's actually scripture for that. But Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, at least, in 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and 2:6. When you compare those verses, you see those are apostles in the plural, and prophets. There were body of Christ prophets there in 1 Corinthians 14 that helped by being given a understanding of all mysteries, according to 1 Corinthians 13:2, and by acknowledging that what Paul wrote was the word of God, was what God inspired Paul to write by inspiration. So, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, And going on to verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, we've seen what the husbandry is, and we've seen what the building is. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 20. And I hope we can see. We've got to believe the words on the page here. In these verses, we see that in the church at Corinth, there was a mixture. That was brought up last night. There was a mixture there. It was... I've got an article called Paul's Mixed Multitude, because the Bible uses the term mixed multitude. Coming out of Egypt, there were some mostly Israelis, Jews, you know, the 12 tribes coming out during the Exodus, but there were also some Egyptians that said, hey, his God is powerful, their God is powerful. They've got covenants they can depend on with that God. I'm going to follow what they're doing. Now, that might not have been their exact wording. It's not in Scripture that way. But they are accounted for as being a mixed multitude coming out of Egypt with Israel. So, in these verses about Paul's meeting, you can see that meeting, Paul's meeting there in Corinth, the beginning of the church in Corinth, it was a mixture. And that's why Paul's epistles to Corinth are not addressed to the body of Christ in Corinth. It's called the Church of God in Corinth, because it was still a mixture. A mixture of all whom believed the gospel of God. Now, when Paul first got to Corinth, nobody in the synagogue there, he went to the synagogue, verse 4, Acts 18:4, nobody believed the gospel of God. I mean, if you believed the gospel of God, you'd be kicked out of the synagogue. It was against, they were all apostate. So, when Paul came, he would preach, just like at Thessalonica, just like at Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13, he would preach the gospel of God first about who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead. Nothing about dying for our sins or anything like that. It's just the facts of who he is. He was the prophesied one, the one they should have been waiting for. And some were. But all those in Paul's Corinth meeting had been part of that apostate synagogue, and all that came over into Paul's meeting had converted to believe the gospel of God that Paul preached in the synagogue. So before any of them had heard and believed the salvation gospel of Christ that Paul later preached in his meeting in the church at Corinth, they were all still what would be classified as children, as church of God, little flock type people. They were in the Jewish synagogue to start with, when they had been taught the covenants, the commandments. They kept the Sabbath. They did everything except believe that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. Well, when Paul came and preached it, some of them did believe it. They converted and came out into Paul's meeting. But, you know, as soon as they get organized, get there, and Paul can preach to them, he's going to preach, make sure they know the gospel of God and that they're there for the right reason. And then he's going to preach the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. And some of them, look at, let me just interrupt or inject this, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Is it 14 or 13? 14. How do they get called, and into which entity Israel or the body of Christ are they being called? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when they heard that gospel, some of those people that had believed the gospel of God in the synagogue and come out into the Paul's meeting, some of them believed that gospel of Christ because that God was calling them. God knew, he foreknew that what their choice would be, and he called them by the gospel, and they believed. They exercised that choice. That's some of the group, and they would be body of Christ people. But some of them were being called into Israel. Some of them hadn't heard that there was a Jesus, a Messiah born in Israel, and that he died and rose again. Those people called into Israel's doctrine, but they couldn't go back into the synagogue. They'd been kicked out. So with that group of things happened, that situation, I should say, I guess, that situation, let's go on. They had just come out of the apostate synagogue. They were all Jews and Greeks, being Jews and Jew blessers, or Israel blessers. They still had the law in their mind, and also ordinances that were given to them to keep. Some of those Corinth Jews had only changed from believing apostate Judaism to believing in the gospel of God, that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, as the little flock believed. And others of those in Corinth, the Corinth Jews again, they changed further than those first group. They changed from being apostate Judaism to believing the gospel of God, that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, and they went further to hear and to believe Paul's preaching of the gospel of Christ, that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah who died for their sins and rose again the third day for their justification. But all of both groups were forced to leave the hostile apostate synagogue there, the Jews in the synagogue. They only had Paul's meeting to gather in and to learn. That's the only choice they had. I mean, there wasn't somebody else coming along and, you know, eventually Peter would, you know, it says that he went through the upper coasts. No, that's not Peter. But it does name him in 1 Peter 1, I think it's the first verse there. Bithynia, Asia, I can't think of them, several places that Peter went to. And, you know, then those Jews that believed the gospel of God but weren't called into the body of Christ and remained little flock-type people, they would go and listen to Peter's preaching. Now, that's not, it doesn't say that happened, but that could have happened, and that would explain how, you know, how God fed his people spiritually in the little flock. He didn't just drop them or desert them. And how God fed the body of Christ people spiritually. So here in these verses here, let's look in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So there you've got both conditions. If you come out being called into the body of Christ, don't try to be an Israelite. If you come out and God was still calling some people, Israel had fallen in Acts 7, but by the time 1 Corinthians was written, and or by the time Paul went there in Acts 8, it was Acts 18, some of those people may have heard the gospel before Israel fell. Not, you know, they're over in Corinth. They're not anywhere near Jerusalem. So when Paul came and preached the gospel of God, they were still able to take up that call and become part of the little flock, even though Israel had fallen and was about to be cast away in Acts 28. So they snuck in, just barely. But let's go on. That was verse 18. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Well, Paul's saying, you know, that doesn't count anymore. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Romans 6:14. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. That sums it up pretty good. Verse 18 and verse 20 sum it up pretty good. Paul is saying not to fight among yourselves in this group, this grouping that he's extracted from. Well, he didn't extract them. They kicked them. The synagogue kicked them out. We didn't look at those verses. Before I do this, let's look at three verses here. Somebody look up, if you would, John. Does anybody have a poster? John 12, verse 42. And I'm also going to need John 16, verse 2. But while you're looking those up, that's John 12:42 and John 16, verse 2. Let me just post this one. Get cracking, saints. Oh, hi. Hi, Gracie. Didn't see you come in. John 9:22. These words, and this is regarding that synagogue and what happens when people believe that Jesus was the Messiah risen from the dead, the gospel of God. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So, okay, well, let me find it here. Just take a minute longer. 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And remember, they're not under grace. Talking about the Pharisees, talking about, what is it, the chief rulers, they're under Judaism. They needed to confess that Jesus was the Christ. Well, it says they did not confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And the last one was 16:2. I'll post that. This, you get it. It doesn't need to be confirmed two extra times, three in total. But it's there. It's a surety. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they are, that he doeth God service. So three times we're told that as soon as they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that prophet sent in from Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 to 19, they were kicked out of the synagogue. So Paul is saying to this mixed group that he's leading and preaching to, and if he couldn't do it at certain places, he would send somebody to do it, Epaphroditus or, I don't know, Titus, you know who his helpers were, the body of Christ helpers. And now he did have some circumcision helpers too that were in Christ before Paul was, but they were helpers in a different sense, carrying the baggage and stuff, I guess. So, he's saying, don't fight among yourselves. If you believe you're called to be in the circumcision group with Paul's meeting, stay there. If you believe you're called to be in the uncircumcision group within Paul's meeting, stay there. The point is that both groups were in that church, that one meeting at Corinth. And they both were called out to be what they were, which it started as Paul's meeting. Both newly believing little flock Jews and newly believing body of Christ believers were together in Paul's meeting there in Corinth, where they were taught by Paul or Timothy or Sosthenes. Remember Sosthenes? When Paul went to Corinth, Sosthenes was at one point there. I don't know if it was when he first got there, but he was the leader of the synagogue, leader of the Jews there. And it says when Paul preached the gospel of God, it doesn't name it that way, but well, it does say that he preached to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So that is part of the gospel of God. But anyway, Sosthenes believed. The leader of the Jews of the synagogue believed Paul's gospel, or not, excuse me, that's reserved for the gospel of salvation, believed the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, and came over into Paul's meeting, and he, you know, eventually heard the gospel, or and it wouldn't be mentioned here in 1 Corinthians if he hadn't believed the gospel of salvation. And so they're both in that one group. It's the same group. The same is true of the whole family mentioned in Ephesians 3:15, leaving the talking about the Paul's meeting there in Corinth for a minute, for a while here. The whole family mentioned, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So there you can see that the whole family in heaven would be the body of Christ. The whole family on earth would be Israel. So the whole family has the sense of being used to include both Israel and the body of Christ. There's a sameness to that part, that particular statement in Ephesians 3:15. Just briefly, we talked about the term the Church of God being used for both groups in Corinth. And you can see it if you look at the beginning of the first verse, second verse in the letter. Well, first, let me post that. 1 Corinthians 1:2. That's true. It was used for both groups before the group that was going to become the body of Christ heard the gospel, before Paul preached that gospel, the gospel of Christ, to them after they had gotten kicked out of the synagogue for believing the gospel of God. Okay. So, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto, it doesn't say unto the body of Christ, which is at Corinth. It says unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth. If you look in Galatians 1:13, you see the Church of God was in existence. It was in existence before Paul was saved, before there was a body of Christ. So the Church of God is that Israel church, at least. Let's see where we... Oh, I'm looking in the wrong place. No, that's right. Unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, that's, again, they were sanctified unto salvation. They had to endure to the end, right? Israel. Okay, they hadn't heard yet. They had come over from the synagogue into Paul's meeting because they believed the gospel of God, hadn't heard or believed the gospel of salvation yet. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. There you see a difference, a separation between the two groups. Theirs and ours. So, and remember, now, you know, we're trying to get out of the Bible what it says, and we're trying not to ignore phrases or passages that have been ignored for centuries, haven't, or for a long time anyway, and haven't been explained, haven't been believed. You know, when it says the gospel of God, people, you know, turn around and say, well, there's only one gospel, so that means the same as the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of salvation, or Paul's. They're not all the same. You can find definition. The definition of the gospel of God is in Romans 1, 1 to 4. The definition of the gospel of Christ is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 6. 1 to 4, if you want to go to the end of the period, end of the sentence there, the period is at the end of 6, but it's still about the same thing. The appearances that proved the resurrection of Christ. So, you know, no matter who you talk to, they're going to cast a slant eye at what we're talking about here, probably. But 1 Corinthians 1:2 said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, written shortly afterward, after 1 Corinthians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he's still calling it the church of God, probably for strictly for identification, because he called it that in the first letter. He says sanctified. That's what the writer of Hebrews said the little flock was, sanctified. Look in Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we, who's we? That's, it's written by a Hebrew, to the Hebrews, in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, by the which will we Hebrews, are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Once for all. It's not like that term that I reject. Christmas, Mass, it's not a Mass. You know, that was added 200 or 300 years later after the events in the Bible. Believing Jews were sanctified or set apart, but not yet saved. We've gone through that before. Especially, you can see it pretty plainly in Acts 3:19 through 21, that their sins are not blotted out until Christ returns from heaven at the restoration of all things, when the fountain is opened up in chapter, I don't know, 30 is coming to mind. I don't think that's where it is, though. It's 13. That's it. Zechariah 13, 1. So let's go on down through here. We can see the believing Jews were sanctified or set apart. And we can see that they weren't yet saved in Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 29. And we'll look later at verse 35 and then 38. But starting in verse Hebrews 10:26, for if we, that's Israel again, the Hebrews, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And I think that's where some of these Paltalk groups that say, well, you can be forgiven your sins, but not if you sin willfully, because this Hebrews verse. But that's to Hebrews, it's not to us. It's like the saying goes, it's not our mail. It was never told to us. We're not under that condition. Verse 27 in Hebrews 10, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. So they had to endure to the end. Israel did. That doesn't apply to us. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There's that conditionality in there again. Hebrews 10:38-39. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. To them, it's a future thing. Believe to the saving of the soul. It's not an immediate thing like it is for us. That's the difference. So the point is, we're getting close to finishing here. Welcome to the room, TVI. The point is that although believers in Paul's gospel today are saved immediately, little flock believers in the circumcision gospel during the Acts period, they were sanctified unto a future salvation at the sprinkling of the blood when the Zechariah 13 fountain is opened unto the house of David, when Israel shall look upon whom they have pierced in Zechariah 12:10, only they had to endure to the end to be saved at the end when Christ returns. Acts 3:19-21. Israel had to call on the name of the Lord. They had to believe who Jesus was. His identity, his name, the gospel of God. That's what certifies his name, who he is. That he's the prophesied one. He's the Messiah, the one the Old Testament spoke of over and over. And Paul called them to be saints. He was giving them the gospel to become saved saints in this epistle, not Hebrews, not Zechariah, but in Romans, and to be spiritually baptized into the one body of Christ, which is a result of believing the gospel of salvation, which Paul preached. So time for questions. I'm done with the notes that I've got on it.